Good morning. The Committee to Protect Journalists has updated the security guide for newsmen as it reviews the increasingly dangerous world in which they operate today. The importance of the 10-point guide is underlined by the gruesome beheadings of American journalists Stephen Sutloff and James Foley by hardline Islamists controlling portions of Iraq and Syria. Frank Smythe is Senior Advisor for Journalist Security at the CPJ, and he joins us now from New York. Mr. Smythe, good morning to you.
Good morning.
The CPJ states in the foreword of this guide that at least 30 journalists get killed and 35 more are unaccounted for every year, while 150 others are in jail because of their work. It's a grim picture you're painting here, Mr. Smythe.
Well, certainly we know that the world seems to be getting more dangerous, especially in recent months, for journalists. We also know that freelance journalists are on the front lines of most of the toughest coverage, international coverage in conflict zones around the world. The coverage is being done by freelance journalists who have less institutional support than staff colleagues did in years past. And at the same time, we know that this not only poses tremendous physical risks that were manifested by the beheadings of James Foley and Stephen Sutloff, we also know that this also takes a terrible emotional toll on journalists, their colleagues, and their families attempting to navigate these very dangerous situations.
Basic preparedness and the assessment and response to risks are crucial bridge rails for journalists chased by the shadow of death as they go about their business.
That's absolutely right. We encourage journalists to do as much preparation as possible and to do research about the potential risk. What kind of groups are out there? What kind of weapons are they using? What has been their modus operandi? How have they been operating? How might that change? What the potential choke points and dangers are? And then what would be the possible ways to try and mitigate those risks? And then create an emergency response contingency plan in the case that something happens. The more planning that goes into it, the better a journalist is going to be venturing forth.
Even some of the most experienced journalists like Sutloff and Foley often don't understand the security threats they face.
Well, that's true, but we've also seen some very experienced journalists being killed, severely injured in recent years, such as Marie Colvin in Syria, Reni Olchik, who was with her, as well as Anthony Shadid. What we're seeing is when you look at the conflict in Syria, the risks are incredibly high, unprecedented, in fact, in terms of the number of journalists who've been held captive or killed. And so it's hard to assess that risk because it's so unprecedented.
The risk of covering organized crime and corruption are often just as high as in conflict situations.
That's correct. There can be retaliatory measures taken against the journalists and their families. It's also worth pointing out that 2 out of 3 of all journalists killed did not step in a landmine or get killed in crossfire. They were murdered outright, usually in premeditated assassinations, often by criminal actors, including corrupt government officials who may be colluding with organized crime.
Financial problems are hampering security training especially. Isn't poor financing also the cause of serious stress for journalists heading or working for media houses at this moment?
Well, I think the lack of financial resources means that journalists are operating more on their own. They're less likely to get institutional support, moral support, emotional support from their own news organizations. And that can lead them to being alienated. Journalists tend to support themselves in these situations when covering conflicts in other stories. You're absolutely right about that.
The advent of technology now stands out as a boon for the profession, rapidly altering the way news is spread and keeping thousands of journalists from harm's way. Looking back at the amendments you made, what stands out as the overriding measure for journalists who are looking to work in the world ahead?
The overriding concern is that journalists need to know that they have to take care of themselves, and they should not necessarily expect a great deal, if any, support from the news organizations for whom they're working. That's unfortunate, but that's the truth. So journalists have to take responsibility for their own security and make sure they're doing all the preparation that's required, that they're getting security training they need, that they're doing the research beforehand to try and talk to people on the ground to assess it in a situation, and that they've got contingency plans set up. So should anything go wrong, should there be a crisis, there's some sort of response mechanism in place. Journalists have to do this on their own because no one's going to do it for them.
Frank Smythe, Senior Advisor for Journalist Security at the Committee to Protect Journalists, on the line from New York. Thank you so much, Mr. Smythe, for speaking to Radio France International.
My pleasure. Thank you.